I grew up on a farm in a small farm community in northwest Iowa. I had a graduating class of 17, and I was fascinated and I guess moved by the Lord as I read Shadow of the Almighty with testimony of Jim Elliott, and felt that God wanted me to go to Wheaton College. And I didn't have a lot of help and guidance in it, but I applied and got accepted and ended up there. And one of the first things I did was look at Edmund Chapel, a beautiful building. It took my breath away, really. Seats 2,400, and had the joy of going to chapel there every weekday. And it was a spiritual experience, and I really appreciated the time. I appreciated the president, V. Raymond Edmond. And I just say a word about him for missions. At the age of 25, he was working for, or at least he was in one of the mountain areas of South America, and for GMU, he was going up to this village to check something out, and he contracted typhus fever, got very ill. In fact, he was so ill, they planned his funeral. His wife, they had dyed her wedding dress black and got ready for that. At the same time, the church that kind of was sponsoring him back in Massachusetts, one of the leaders, was so burdened one day. He says, "We've got to pray for him. Something's happened." It's a very different day than today. Somehow you can connect one, either cell phones or something, but they had no idea what was going on with him. But they had a two-hour prayer meeting, laboring in prayer for him, and then the spirit lifted, and they felt that it was going to be okay. And of course, he survived and went on. But he, the Lord led him to many different things. But he, one of the chapels that meant so much to me, knowing what happened in Ecuador with the Alca Indians. I think it was Marge Saint, one of the wives of the missionaries that was killed down there, brought Dayuma, the first convert, really with the Aucas. And it was something else to see this lady from the Stone Age tribe walk out with her on the platform. Must have been something else for her to fly and come and stand in front of a huge group of people. But anyway, that was a blessing. One of the things that V. Raymond Edmond stressed always was, as you come to chapel, you're coming to worship. You're coming to come into the presence of the King. And it was, I don't remember how often he did it, but I have just a little bit of his last message on that, and if I get it right here, I want to play it for you. It takes just a little bit.
Chapel is designed to be a meeting on your part with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. Over these years, there has been the same basic objective that chapel is to be a time of worship, not a lecture, not an entertainment, but a time of meeting the King.
Those were some of the closing words from a man's final minutes on earth. The preacher is V. Raymond Edmond. He's 67 years old. It's a Friday morning chapel at Wheaton College on September 22nd, 1967, 5.5 decades ago. His sermon is titled, In the Presence of the King. Edmond preached for about 11 minutes, paused, collapsed, and died. And entered into the presence of the King of Kings. Stunning event.
Amazing thing that God chose to do. In that message, just I think it said it was 11 minutes into it. I've known some that had that were there. I think one of the pastors of Union Valley, Robin Maxson, he was in it. It had a deep impact, and it's emotional for me too because I've appreciated so much his life and his ministry and being able to hear that personally. But I just wanted to, because I came into contact with that, wanted to share that. And there's two things that I would stress out of that. You know that in our bulletin, there's two things that have been in there for years. And the first is, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And how important to know the reality of, by faith, Jesus Christ is with us. He is here. We've met in his name. And we need to be reminded of that because you know what faith is. It's the things that are not seen. But we believe them. We believe his word. But I also have had in there on the prelude is a time for heart preparation. It is important that we use this time for preparing ourselves for the privilege of entering the presence of the King. And that obviously from me came because that was such a stress of Dr. Edmund as he was president during the years that I was there. And I appreciate so much in the church the fellowship that we have, that people love to see each other and talk and so forth. But just a reminder, there's a time for that. I sometimes feel for Liz as she's playing and it's overshadowed by us getting to see each other. I think it really is honoring to the Lord to observe that in a special way. And so I would just take this opportunity to remind us how important that is. I really felt for God taking him home right in the midst of that is an emphasis of the Lord's pleasure. Try to imagine what it's like for him to be giving that message and then next moment seeing the Lord. God has wonderful ways of working. It just reminds me that we never know when we're going to go home. We never know our time, but it's important, as I have titled it, to be ready. And so I just want to share some passages this morning. I had an insert. I did this for my sake, and my print is bigger than yours. But I thought there's a number of verses I want to look at, and turning to all the passages, I thought I would just, and then I felt like the Lord reminded me, why don't you make a copy for everybody, because they won't have to be turning as well. And so I want to remind us of some of the verses that's very important in this matter of being ready. Always keeping in mind that we don't know when the Lord will return. We don't know I'd love to see that while you're alive that you meet him. That'll be what a wonderful beginning. But even if not that, the time, even as V. Raymond Edmonds' death, that he was brought into the presence of the Lord. And so I picked this passage in 1 Thessalonians concerning the coming of the Lord and what Paul is doing. As he said, he wanted to just let them know about those that have died. He calls it sleeping in Jesus. And I would just direct our attention just for a moment to 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I think it's so important to realize when loved ones, when Christians die, they go right into the presence of the Lord. I have no doubt that the moment V. Raymond Edmond died in the middle of that message, that he was in the Lord's presence. And he entered the presence of the King. And we want to be ready. For us that are alive and remain, but when we die, we're in his presence. It's not some intermediate state. To be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. And I think one of the, let me see what I had next here, but the passage that we, that our brother read this morning, 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the order of things that are happening at the coming of the Lord. We don't know when that moment is. We may not get home for lunch. Well, down for lunch, huh? Anyway, the Lord can come at any moment, and we want to be ready. But what he described here is the Lord will come and bring them with him. They're with him now, but he comes with them in the clouds. He doesn't come to the earth. He comes, as it says, in the clouds, and they then receive their resurrected body. They're home with the Lord with, we don't know what the body is like, but it evidently is going to be fine, is fine until that final resurrection of their body. The thing that I often think about is the Apostle Paul. He was stoned at Lystra. They were standing around his dead body. It says he was taken to the third heaven. And a couple times he says, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. Well, he wasn't in the body that was on the earth. But it was like he didn't miss his body. I didn't know if I was in it or out of it. So the Lord knows what it's like intermediate. But he's going to bring them with the Lord Jesus to meet then their resurrected bodies to be like Jesus Christ. That is when the scripture makes it plain that we then have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what a day that will be. But those of us that are alive at that moment, it says we do not prevent or precede them that get their new bodies. We are changed. We are changed in the moment, if you can imagine, the power of God over all the world and every Christian to receive their new bodies. And I just want to remind us what is in, anyway, it's in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody's going to die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air with them. The thing that I realize, and we can realize, that the power of God is going to do it in the twinkling of an eye. There's not going to be any time to get things right or different that we want to make right with other people or want to make right with the Lord that he's been convicting us of. And that's why it's the thing that I've thought is so important is be ready. Live ready. When the Lord comes, it's not going to be like you have 24 hours to get things right with what you know you should have been doing. But anyway, so they're caught up with a resurrected body. We receive a body that's, it doesn't have to be resurrected, we're alive, it's just changed. And we're caught up then to be with the Lord. And I would share then what Paul later on in 1 Thessalonians, in the next, he's saying all this to comfort people that have lost their loved ones, but he gives us instruction on that. But then in chapter 5, he says, a warning to be ready. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep is sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Peter in 2 Peter 3:14 talked about being ready. Wherefore, my beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I think, to me, one of the most helpful instruction on being ready comes from John in 1 John 2:28, where he says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The thing that you can realize from that, there may be Christians involved in something they shouldn't be doing, or there may be Christians that haven't made things right like they should have. They're believers, but they might be ashamed at his coming. "Oh, if I'd have done that differently." And so this matter of abiding in him is a wonderful instruction to be ready, to abide in him. And I would just share that in John 14, Jesus explaining that he's going away and not to let their hearts be troubled. He's in the plan. He's getting ready to come back, take us home to be with him, to ever be with him. So in John 14, he explains that he's going to send, he's just going to ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, which comes to live in those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. But in the next verse, he says, "I will come to you." So in a very special way, the Lord is with us. But we have a decision to make whether we are going to walk with him, abide in him. John 15 then explains what it's like to abide in him. Let him work through your life. Be in fellowship with him. If there are things that are wrong that he is convicting you of, get it right. It can be an ongoing lifestyle of abiding him and trusting in him. When you face struggles and problems, you got a guide. You have a comforter. Talk with him. And I just think of the Laodicean church, that they were pretty much trusting in themselves, and that's the verse where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." But I think it's a picture of, if you're not abiding in him, if you're not daily, all the time, in connection with him, he wants to be in the middle of things. He already lives in you as a Christian, but he needs to be accepted, and you need to abide in him. I love that. If you're doing it, if you're abiding in him, you can see him in confidence. I thought about that in early years, seeing that you walk with him here, you're talking with him, whom you do not see. The next moment, you're visibly in his presence. That's what abiding in him is. So I think of Paul's own testimony and his looking forward. He knew his time was at hand. He did say several things about himself. "I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand." Three things he said: "I fought a good fight." Paul was in the spiritual battle. Four people, for protection for his own life, And Paul definitely, even at the end of the armory, told brethren, pray for me that I can open my mouth boldly. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. In Ephesians 2:10, explains that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For every one of us as Christians, there's a work to do. There's a work to be finished. Somehow he was alerted. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Things have been tough. He went through so much stuff, but he kept his faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Corinthians 15 is where he said we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the end of that chapter, I appreciate the encouragement there. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a wonderful challenge. Stay at it. Be ready. Be living for the Lord. And then I want to lastly just to say a word about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me read that first. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to whether he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We understand the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, it says we all must appear there. And there are things, and this has been a concern for me, for my own life, for brothers and sisters in Christ, if things are not made right, it's going to be addressed at the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in our body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I've witnessed the going home of some people, and it's just obvious from life, some things are not made right. They'll be made right there. I don't know how God's going to do it. There's rewards or loss of rewards and entering into our eternal kingdom. It is not that up to decision whether you're saved or not. You're saved. But some things need to be straightened out before you go throughout eternity. And so I just think it's very important to make sure you can face that with confidence. I'm doing what God tells me to do. I'm doing the best I can do to walk with the Lord and depend on him. And so I know Jesus is with us, and I say, Lord Jesus, just keep us ready. Keep us be realizing we need to be ready to meet you. And my prayer for everyone here is that we could meet him in confidence, whether it's at his coming or whether it's at our death. We're all going to meet him as Christians, and praise God for what a wonderful thing that is. But as we come to the Lord's table, we're to examine ourselves. And if there's anything you don't want him to have to bring up at the judgment seat of Christ, get it right. That'd be my prayer for us, to walk in such a way that we're ready to meet the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming at the will of the Father to take our sin, to bear our sin, that we can have your life and the gift of salvation. We come this morning to remind ourselves and worship you, Lord Jesus. We look forward to worshiping you in your very presence, visible presence, but we do it now here. Please deal with our hearts if there's things we need to get straightened out. perchance you come at 3 o'clock this afternoon, that we made things right. Thank you, Lord, for your word that makes it clear that we're look forward to being with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Father, we so thank you for sending our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.